Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing your 2023 Travelers Championship. We'll recap this tournament called the U.S. Open that just took place in L.A. as well, and much, much more. You can find me on Twitter at BDentrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. A fun weekend in the books. A lot of mixed reactions on the Twitterverse this week. And so what did you think of the U.S. Open?
Yeah, I mean, so initially I've been thinking about this since, like, you know, when you do stuff like this, you start thinking in terms of, like, what am I going to say? And so I've been thinking of it since Thursday. Like, what do I say? Initially, I was fucking pissed. I'm not going to lie. I was very upset on Thursday at how easy that golf course played. To me, I don't know if they didn't look at the weather. They don't have a good meteorologist. I don't know. Like, they set it up way too easy on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And that was figured out by Friday afternoon, when all of my guys were playing and trying to make the cut. It was playing much more difficult. Saturday and Sunday were, in my opinion, U.S. Open worthy rounds. Mm-hmm. Yes, there were some easy holes on the golf course, but, you know, even par was still a good score. And that's really what you want out of the U.S. Open. I mean, you know, 10 under wins it, 8 under is winning after Thursday, and 10 under ends up winning the golf tournament. I mean, to me, that we got 3 days of U.S. Open golf. Thursday, different story, but Justin Rose now probably would tell you both days were U.S. Open golf worthy. But overall, man, I thought I like that golf course a lot. I know a lot of people don't. I think it's really, really cool that golf course and others too, but that one in particular, the sight lines on it. I mean, with the freaking skyscrapers in the background, the mega mansions right off the side, and just overall the way that it played, I thought it was a good golf course. I don't think they should ever go back there, but I think I would love, absolutely just love to play that golf course, but that'll never happen. So.
Yeah, I would too, but I don't even know if I want to play the course. I don't know if I want to follow the rules. I saw someone tweet out the rules.
You have to wear pants, number one.
Well, yeah. I'm a shorts dude, so like we got problems right now. Like I wear pants when I have to. Like I wear pants to when I played Torrey because it was kind of cold out. Like I can wear pants.
It's not right. I'm with you.
Prefer not to though. Like this is be real about 100%. It. But it was just all the other policies. Like you have, after like 5 p.m. you have to have a sport jet, like all these freaking things. I'm like, whoa, I'm here to play golf. Like
it's very Augusta-like.
Oh, hardcore Augusta-like. Yeah. You can tell it was a bunch of rich people that put this together and said, hey, this is where we want to hang out. We're going to make it as exclusive as possible, basically. And like someone I think tweeted out the value of the ground there. Cause how much like an acre of land costs.
Joe Pompolimo or whatever. Yeah.
Some astronomical price tag.
$8 billion. It's worth $8 billion. But they only pay taxes on like $80 million or something. I don't know.
Well, and what it tells you is that the people that are there have so much money, because most people would have sold that ground to build by now for $8 billion. They're like, nah, we're good. We'll just keep our golf course.
It's like $250,000 to join.
It's just a join.
And they don't let celebrities join.
That's interesting, actually.
Yeah.
That fact.
I know.
So it's like it's a weird exclusive place. Like I think I saw somewhere, I think No Laying Up tweeted out like the next like 20 years of venues. I think it's scheduled to be there in 2039. So 16 years away. But
You know, Riviera's on the schedule.
Yep, Riviera's on the schedule. Pebble's there like every 5 years. Yeah. It's like it's wild. Which I love Pebble, but I don't know if it's a US Open track. Like let's just be real about it. We've talked about that. But LACC was great. There was a couple things like on Thursday. I was even telling people that were like Discord or other friends, well, guys, the winning score is not going to be like 15 under. This is going to get rough quick. They're going to do whatever it takes to do stuff. But it was annoying for one to see that score just because it's the U.S. Open.
Yes.
The one thing I'll say though is it still was a test of golf even that day because you had so many different scores because you still had to hit your golf ball in the right spots and get the rolls that you needed. It was just more friendly, like it was more receptive, which made it a little easier. Like over the weekend, you were saying guys would hit shots 20 yards short to roll it up to the left side of the green so it could roll all the way to the right. Like, it was totally a shot maker's paradise at that point. And it was fun. It was great to watch. I know we mentioned it last week. If you guys aren't following Michael Kim on Twitter, I highly recommend it. Like, the stuff he was tweeting out about just golf shots, about why a guy would do this and that, just kind of gives you an insight of a guy that's actually out there playing it. Kind of like, hey, this is why they're doing this.
Yeah.
When most of us are like, why would you hit the ball over here? It's like, well, this is why. So,
yeah,
it was interesting. What do you think about Wyndham taking it down? Like, that's the – he goes gets the Wells Fargo, and now he gets the U.S. Open in, like, the span of almost a month.
Yeah, very surprised. Once he got up to the leaderboard there and was around the lead, I was fully expecting him to collapse. But he's got – I think he's got the moxie to compete. I mean, obviously, that's a huge win at the Wells Fargo, but that's not on this stage. Yep. He probably won just about as much money at the Wells Fargo, but either way, I mean, you know, he didn't have Rory and Ricky and Scotty and, you know, others. Xander was there for a while, you know, chasing him down. So at a U.S. Open where he had to hit, you know, really good golf shots, and he did. I mean, that I will say that, like, 18 is disappointing, just because that, you know, it's almost 100 yard wide fairway there. I mean, it's almost impossible to hit. And he hits one that's just, I mean, Mito-esque at the PGA Championship a couple of years ago, and it ends up in the fairway and he knocks it up on the short of the green. Hit a hell of a, yeah, I mean, 60 feet away and that kind of pressure with all that nonsense they had going on behind him.
Yep.
I mean, he, and then his reaction, dude, his reaction afterwards, after he made the final putt, made me a fan forever of Wyndham Clark. You could tell that, that was a lot of emotion coming out there. So, kudos to him, man. He was not on my radar. But you know, I know a lot of people did bet him, including Tim Anderson, who, you know, hits one every now and again. So,
yeah, the clock's right. A broken clock's right twice a day. So you got that going for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But true. Yeah, it was great to see. That's why I always like tweet out silly stuff once in a while. In any sport, when there's moments like that with Wyndham, it's like, this is why sports are great. Like, these are the moments.
100%. Right,
like, this is why we as fans watch the sport.
Yes.
A lot. Yeah. And it's cool to see that. And then it's even cool the flip side. Like, you got guys like Max Homa and then JT, who looks completely broken. And these guys are just like dumbfounded. Drunk. What's going? Yeah, tweeting out like, and of all things on Rosé, of all things. Like,
yeah. Max, you see the bottles of? Did you see the bottles of champagne in the background?
Oh yeah, they're having a great old time. Those boys, like,
they were.
That's what all those millions of dollars, folks.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you got that kind of money or whatever, but I mean, dude, congrats to Wyndham. I feel bad for Rory.
Dude, it's like, is he starting to turn into that bridesmaid? Like, Scheffler kind of is too. He's been a top five machine, but it's like he just goes through the motions, and he's going to go through an epic run again. It feels like once, like, the putter was better this week, but he still had a lot. Like, I think it was Saturday. He had so many just misses again, like he's had in recent weeks where he was close. But yeah, Rory, oof, that
was tough. Just imagine if either one of those two guys could putt. If Scotty or Rory, either one.
We've said this so many times. It's just wild. They're such
Rory, great, I mean, ball strikers. Scotty especially. Scotty hits it to 10 feet and misses it. Hits it to 10 feet, misses it. Hits it to 15 feet, misses it. Now, Rory wasn't necessarily as on with his iron game as what Scotty was on Sunday, but neither one of them. I don't know in a two-man scramble if they could have beaten Wyndham Clark.
That's true.
As bad putters as they were.
Yep, that's an outstanding point, because I always joke with my buddies, because I don't hit the ball long. I got buddies that can crush it. My short game, especially my putting, is my highlight of my game. I'm like, let's scramble, boys. Let's do this. Like, we got this. I'm not saying I'd help Scotty out, because those greens are a lot tougher than, you know, when I play. But I'm just saying, it's pretty impressive to see. It's like the Shaq of free throws. It's like, what's going on, guys? Like, what are we doing here? You guys are the best player on the course right now. Like, Shaq is the best player on the court. But it was Hack-a-Shack time, and it's like Scheffler. It's like, well, we know we're good. Just like win them. I just got to shoot even par. I'm going to win the damn thing.
I mean, that's what, you know, kind of sucks about it, is the fact that, you know, nobody made a run really at him, and it took him making a couple bogeys and coming back for it to even matter on 18, whether or not that drive even hits the fairway and so on and so forth. But that shot he hit on 14, the second shot where he had to land it in about 20-yard strip there, and it bounces right up pin high. I mean, absolutely incredible, incredible shot. I thought he was in big trouble on nine when he hits it. No, eight. When he hit it left of eight and then tried to hit it and missed it. And then ended up getting that ball out and then up and down from there to make bogey after Azinger already put him down for double. But Azinger, another guy who's constantly wrong.
It's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, Wyndham made the shots, man. Wyndham won the championship. I wouldn't sit back and say that Rory lost it. I think Wyndham went and won it. Rory had his chances. He just did not capitalize.
Well, that's kind of one of the things I don't want to bring him up all the time, but Michael Kim mentioned. He said Wyndham was out there making the golf shots. Yeah. He was going for it, where Rory was like laying up over here. He's hitting like a 3-wood off the tee while Wyndham's grabbing driver, like without a care in the world. And like, and it goes back. I can't remember what beat writer had it out there, but he interviewed Wyndham on Thursday or whatever. And what he said, Wyndham, what's like your philosophy this week? He's like, be cocky. Like, just be cocky. Like, be confident, be cocky. And he proved it on Sunday. I know that's all I can say.
He sure did, man.
A couple other questions for you, because it is the US Open, so we spent a little more time on the majors. I was afraid of this happening. I even said it on Thursday. I wouldn't be shocked if it happened. It lasted till Sunday, but then Ricky fell off. It was a hell of a week. Everyone's going to say he's close, because he is. But what's your thoughts on that? Because I wouldn't be shocked if he made the cut or whatever. But to play as well as he did for that weekend was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, he made the most birdies ever, I think. Or, like, he took the – I don't know. He's got some kind of weird stat like that. But he also made a shit ton of bogeys. I think he was last on the weekend in bogeys and first in birdies. But either way, yeah, Ricky, I don't really know what happened with him on Sunday. I think it kind of started on Saturday when he – tricked that little 2-footer in the dark, which that's a whole nother story. Why are we starting these guys off at 3:30 in the afternoon?
When I saw on Friday evening or whatever, and they posted the start times, like, I live in California. I know it's lighter later, but what the, like, talk about TV running the world right there. That's all that is. That's the only explanation.
I mean, for us out here on the East Coast, that is a, you know, almost 11 o'clock ending. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, that's late for a lot of people. A lot of people aren't staying up till 11 o'clock, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was weird. But yeah, Ricky, man, I think Ricky is close. He's been close for a while, and he'll break through eventually. Was another tough scene, but, you know, Ricky is, I think he's an all world dude. So
yeah, signing autographs after every round. Yeah. Like, the dude was amazing. Like,
hanging back there while, you know, Wyndham. Yep. Was hugging people and
there was the picture of the two of them freaking
making sleep. Sure to stand there and shake his hand and be in there for that. I don't know if you're aware or not, but they both have the same putter.
Yeah, and I even heard when Ricky changed his a few inches shorter, so did Wyndham. Did you know that there's a marine layer in California? Did you know about that,
buddy? I tell you there's not a lot of stuff to talk about on while you're talking about golf, but they wear it out.
Like, I mean, the most nonsense stuff. I'd rather hear a million other things. Like, tell me about Brooks, like, doing something stupid, like, or whatever. Well, don't what anything.
You know, the broadcast, you know, they on Saturday afternoon, they did not show Wyndham Clark's. He's in the last group. They didn't show his first tee shot.
Yep.
How does that happen?
It's stupid. Or like
they cut to Brooks. He was on 15. They're like, oh, this is for bogey, and he missed it. Oh, that's a 4-putt. Like, well, I'd like to go back and see the first 3 putts.
Yep.
You know?
How did he get to a 4-putt? Right.
I mean, okay, so he made double, but, like, why is he 4-putting this green? Explain that to me, you know?
Well, the Live guys got quite the TV treatment this weekend. I'll say that. Someone tweeted out, and I realized it dawned on me, because unless it was something negative, you didn't see a whole lot. Dustin was kind of – in contention, that's the same way Scotty was for a while there. Then Scotty pulled it away, but Dustin still wasn't getting any love. Like, it was gone.
Yeah, he wasn't.
It was a weird dynamic.
Brooks didn't hardly make any TV, but he wasn't in contention at all. He
blew that up. None of the other guys really.
Phil didn't make the cut. I don't know about the rest of them either.
Yeah, so that was it. The other thing I was going to ask you, because Fitzy had comments on it, some others, what's with the BS crowds?
Well, so
I saw what it was. I saw why, but that's garbage.
Yeah. I think that goes back to your whole exclusivity thing.
It's what it was, 100%.
I think that's a lot of people with a lot of money ensuring that there wasn't a lot of people there. It's weird too. Like, back there on 13 and 14, 13's kind of in the far corner and there was nobody around that green at all. So like when dudes made birdies, especially on Saturday, there was like just some normal clapping. So it was a weird US Open from that standpoint of like the crowds and stuff. I thought it was okay though on Sunday.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. I mean, it just wasn't what it was at last year at the Country Club. I mean, but it's also California and you guys are more chill and I don't know.
I'll say it for you. You don't have to sugarcoat it. Cause you're on the podcast with me. Like I understand this is why I travel to sporting events on your side of the world.
There's a reason for this.
Like,
it's weird to me how like, you know, I mean, obviously they're showing these big ass mansions in particular, Lionel Richie's there on 6. Like, I don't know if I own that house, I feel like I'm having a big ass party in my backyard, you know, and having all my friends over and we're going to be standing there watching the golf. And maybe Lionel Richie doesn't like golf, but he does live on the golf course where they're having the biggest tournament of the year. So
Airbnb it for the weekend. Make some money.
Can you imagine?
Like, because that's what they do at Pebble, especially on 18, all those houses. People like literally have parties on, especially Sunday for sure.
Every golf course you go to throughout the year at the PGA Tour, that's how it is. But like at these houses, it was like nobody even fucking lived there.
Yeah.
Never saw one single person in one of these backyards. You heard peacocks and that was it.
Yeah, and we knew where that was coming from. So like it was pretty great. Pretty great stuff. But all right, I guess we could wrap it up there. It was a fun weekend. It was a lot of, like I said, animosity, depending on where you went or looked. But in the end, Wyndham won. Again, this goes to my point. And Wyndham would have qualified, don't get me wrong, but this is why we can't have secluded events. Because I think he would still make an elevated event before this, but you know what I'm trying to say. We need these guys that aren't the main guys in the tournaments.
And now he's probably on the Ryder Cup team as well.
That I heard he qualified by points. He knocked somebody out already. Like he's already on the team if it were to end right now, which is bonkers to think about because I don't know if Rome fits his model. So
but a guy with that kind of attitude, I'd love to have on the team.
Oh, that kind of swagger? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like if we can't have Brooks, give me that guy. Let's go. I'm with you there. All right, let's talk the Travelers elevated event after a major. We've done this roller coaster ride before. We have more guys missing this week than normal, and not to mention an elevated event after a major, West Coast to East Coast, right out the gate. Just
stupidity by the PGA Tour.
One other thing I'll mention is the Monday Q guy on Twitter. I forgot that was amazing Twitter follower. That guy needs so much more. Like I know you follow most golf. That guy needs his own like real situation. Like he's trying his ass off and he's doing well. But for the US Open qualifying, he was great. And then this whole week, like he's already tweeting out last night, text with Ryan Gerard, who had a red eye to go out there. Just the information you get from the the elite player section of life is awesome. So I just wanted to throw that out there because he mentioned the struggles of these guys flying across the thing and all this stuff. But all right, Travelers Championship, what do you got for us?
Past event history. Last year, Xander won 19 under, 2 shots over JT Poston and Thigala. 2021 was Harris English, 13 under in a playoff over Kramer Hickok. 2020 was Dustin Johnson, 19 under, 1 shot over Kevin Streelman. 2019 was Ches Reavy, 17 under, 4 shots over Keegan and Zach Sucher. Bubba Watson won this 3 times. His last time was in 2018, 17 under, 3 shots over Paul Casey, Stuart Sink, JB Holmes, Bo Hostler, Jordan Spieth, past champion, Kevin Streelman, past champion. Pretty much do it for us. Russell Knox, past champion. I don't even know if Russell Knox is on the tour anymore.
in the field. He should be in there. Basically, if you're listening to what Jesse said, this could be anybody's golf course. It's not a long course. It's a TPC River Highlands, not to mention east to west. It's southwest to northeast. We're going to Connecticut now.
Yeah, so I mean, like almost as far as you can possibly go. Yeah.
Like the Seattle Seahawks said, what's up? We're playing the Dolphins. Like this is what you're dealing with, people, if you want like a visualization here.
We're not quite to Maine, but God, it's close.
We might as well be playing a freaking Toronto. Like, let's just go. So you got TPC
River Toronto's Highlands. Probably closer, dude.
It probably is, actually, now that you say it. It probably is. TPC River Highlands. It's a Pete Dye course, which I love personally because it's a shot maker's course. You have to use your brain instead of just bombs away. It's a par 70, 6,850 yards, so not long at all. It's the fourth smallest course on tour. Think Pebble, kind of, in a roundabout way, give or take. Elevated event, obviously, you know. But the beautiful thing about Pete Dye courses, just because they're short doesn't mean they're easy. they're tree lined all over the place. It's a lot of rolling areas, like, so you have some weird lies, a lot of dog legs. So it's all about hitting the right spots, a lot of like maybe driving irons or hybrids off the tee potentially. You can get your driver if you need to, but most of the time you're not going to want to, because they also have very, very tough rough here. So you have to be in the fairway. It's not just like, hey, bomb it. I don't care if there's rough, let's go. So you got to be in the fairway, take advantage of setting up your next shot. It'll turn into a wedge fest if they're finding the fairway, which is fine. That's cool. You can handle that. There's 12 par fours, or no, there's not 12 par fours. I totally just butchered that one. There's 12 of the par fours, as I wrote down. 12 of the par fours are less than 450 yards. A couple are less than 400 yards. So you have that going for you as well. But overall, like, a lot of course history, a lot of Pete Dye type stuff can be used here. The par fives are very, very reachable. You better get your birdies on the par fives. The greens are bent grass for the most part. Six smallest on tour. Again, that's why I compared Pebble, because Pebble's like the smallest ones on tour. So you just want to have the ocean wind to deal with at this golf course, but it should be a blast. It's like one par five on both sides. You have your normal par threes, which aren't that bad either. A couple or over 200 yards. The other ones are below 200 yards. Nothing that we saw last week. So really just find the fairways, have a good wedge fest, maybe get hot with the putter. Should have a fun week. What do you got on your stats here?
Yeah, I mean, I think you pretty much hit it all. Plenty of course history to wait, which I do. Greens and regulation, birdie or better. I mean, it's we're back to a more traditional type of PGA Tour event here where 15 to 20 under is going to win. So got to be able to go out there and make a shit ton of putts.
Get low. Let's talk DFS here. DraftKings, 10K and above. Scotty Scheffler, 11-3. Rory, 10-9. Rahm, 10-8. Xander, 10-4. Cantlay, 10-2. Who you like in here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Rory and Scotty, it's, you know, I mean, they're the and Rahm, the three best players in the world. So hard not to play them. I do love Xander Schauffele this week, though. Defending champion. 10th place last week, hasn't missed a cut this year. He withdrew from the tournament of champions, but just playing really, really solid golf. And I think another win is coming for him. And this is kind of a course history type of place from the perspective of, you know, people do when they do well here, they continue to come back and do well. You know, look at Bubba Watson as an example. So I for me, it's Xander if I'm up top here, but I wouldn't talk anybody. Oh, and talking about anybody, like usual, it's all the best players. So
the best of the best. Yeah, Scotty. We've talked about that time and time again. If you want to use Scotty, I have no problem with it. If I have to throw any shade at John Rahm, and this is just trying to cherry pick here, if you're focusing on the main part of the course, so the par four is 4 to 450, he's 56 in this field. Not sure that's going to really matter in the end, but if you want to just say, hey, guys that aren't elite at this spot, great. Then they get over the last 24 rounds, and again, Xander's 111. Over the last 24 rounds, so, and he won here. So take that with whatever grain of salt you want. I do like Xander just for the fact the course history. You know, with the way Xander plays, he has his courses he likes quite a bit. I think Cantlay at 10-2 is very intriguing to me. He's sixth in the model here. He's 10th of the par fours we're looking at. He's seventh in the birdie or better. He pretty much checks everything out really, really well. As around the green game's the biggest hindrance to him over the last 24 rounds, and I don't think that should be a problem if he's using his wedge out of the fairway. So I think Cantlay would be a nice pivot in this range. Because I think a lot will go Xander, a lot will go Scotty. Well, maybe most won't go Xander because of Rahm, McIlroy, and Scotty. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see there. But I think Cantlay could be a nice pivot at 10-2 in this range. 9K range, you got Vic Hovland, 99. Tony Finau, 97. Morikawa, 95. Fleetwood, 93. Wyndham, 92. Ricky, 91. Fitz, 9,000. Who you liking here?
Another good range. This is a loaded field. Hovland or Hovland, however you want to say it, at 9,900. You know, he won the Memorial a couple weeks ago. That's a little bit of a different tournament than this as far as scoring wise goes, but I think he's fine. Morikawa, I mean, he's interesting. He's just had such a like kind of a weird year. You know, I mean, last week he shoots one over, one under, one under, one under. I mean, that's pretty solid at any U.S. Open. That was good for 14th place finish last week. So I think he's fine. Tommy Fleetwood had the round of the tournament on Sunday to backdoor up top five in classic Tommy Fleetwood fashion.
Does that every U.S. Open, it feels like, on a Saturday or Sunday, every year.
Yeah. I mean, he's he's got two of the three 63s on a Sunday at a U.S. Open. The other one being Johnny Miller, who I'm sure was just irate at how easy that golf course was playing on Thursday to see two guys shoot 62. I mean, just it's untelling how mad he would have been if he were not retired from the call. Ricky Fowler, man. I mean, why not? Miscut, 13th, 13th in his last four starts at this event. But three straight top 10 since the miscut at the PGA. If you go back further than that, his worst finish is all the way back at the API, 31st. Other than that, he's finished inside the top 15 in every event except for the PGA Championship. So, I mean, that is the definition of trending. And I will play Ricky this week. I said last week that I'm going to play him, and I ended up choosing all the guys that missed the cut around him. And I said last week that people were forewarned that I was going to play him because he's going to miss the cut if I play him, and I didn't play him, so you're welcome playing him this week for sure, 100%.
You know, it's tilting. I thought of that because you mentioned all the missed cuts. I had three lineups. I had one 6 of 6. The 6 of 6 didn't even cash. Just going to throw that out there. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much if you didn't have Ricky,
yeah,
like – You weren't going to cash. It was weird, yeah, man, because he scored so high with so many birdies.
Yeah, he was a DK play for sure.
You could go probably 3 of 6 with Ricky and a couple other guys inside the, you know, that made top 10. Yeah, I mean, and you were cashing.
That's wild. Yeah, for me, I think Vic's interesting. He's third in my model, 13th in the par fours, 12th in birdie or better. It is a different style tournament, like you said, but I think he's very much in play. I like Fleetwood quite a bit. I like him. I don't know why he's not like a bad driver of the golf ball, but I like him on these kind of shorter shot maker irons. Cause I think European golfers, when I think this kind of stuff, because that's what they're really good at, thinking through things instead of being those, you know, us Americans just wants to see how far we hit the ball. So Fleetwood at 93 is 8th in my model. He's 6th in the par fours. I like him quite a bit. Ricky, I love, he's 4th in my model. So I'm with you on everything you said. 9th on the par fours, 4th in birdie or better. I want to play Wyndham because he rates out well, but you know how that goes. After you win in the U.S. Open, he's probably still drunk right now. I'm just going to throw – maybe he's not. Maybe he's a different breed.
Either that
maybe
or he's going back to back. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, maybe he's all business. We've seen this new breed of guys that are all business, and he's like, I got next week off probably, so we'll get after it then. I don't know. But he was playing great golf before he got there. That's the thing. So it really – the price tag isn't wrong for Wyndham Clark in this one. So I think he's an interesting play, and he might come in lower on because of that back-to-back narrative that has been a thing in DFS forever in PGA. Yeah. The last one I'll mention, though, he only rates out 69th in my model, is Fitzpatrick at 9,000. We're talking about, you know, shot makers, iron play, get strategic around a golf course. That's things he does very, very well. 17th at the U.S. Open, 20th at Canadian, 9th at Memorial, miscut PGA, 35th at Wells, won that Heritage, which is a Pete Dye course, by the way. 10th of the Masters, like you mentioned Ricky's numbers. Ricky's are better, but he's not far off. Yeah. So I think Fitz at 9K kind of gets the forgotten man in this range potentially. And I like him quite a bit if I need to use it as a pivot, kind of like I talked about Cantlay in the 10K range. And that's not my bias with Fitz, it's just the truth. 8K range, Homa at 89, man, he needs to win a major, or at least T10 a major or something. Please, God, he's too good of a guy to just get destroyed. And then his drinking buddy, JT's at $8,800. good Lord. And JT, like, we could have a whole podcast on how broken he looks right now. Like, yeah, like his Friday, where he shot, what, 15 over or something, got 81? Like, or left the 11 over. He shot
81.
So he got 11 over. Just wild stuff. I thought I'd never see that day with Justin Thomas. Sungjae's 87, Hideki 86, Cam Young 85, J-Day 84, Sahith 83, Lowry 82, Tom Kim 81, Siwoo Kim 8,000. Who you like in here?
Yeah, I mean, that top three just like, to me, is just like screams stay away. I mean, they've all got terrible course history. Max has never made a cut at this event. JT's coming off a miscut in his last start in 2020 at this event, has two straight miscuts on tour. I mean, has that ever happened to him? Very strange. Sungjae, course history is okay. Two made cuts, 2 of 2, but he's missed the cut in 3 of his last 4 starts. And his one start that he did make the cut was a 41st place finish at the Memorial where he shot 79 on Sunday. It's just weird range. So I'm going straight down to Hideki, 8,600. He's never played here, but Hideki's playing some pretty solid golf right now. Thigala, I think I'm going to play him again this week, kind of go back. I've been avoiding just because typically with his price, you know, a lot of people are playing him because he does have the upside that eventually one day, maybe many years in the future, he's going to win a golf tournament. But he's never played here, but I do actually no, he played here last year, finished second, missed the cut in 2020. Coming off made cut at the U.S. Open. I mean, he hasn't missed a cut since the fall swing back in October. Tom Kim, man. I mean, he flashed some form. Maybe he figured some shit out. Really good weekend for him. 66, 69 to finish eighth at the U.S. Open. And this was after two consecutive missed cuts. So I think I'll play him. And then Siwoo at 8,000, man. I mean, the course history is weird. It's missed cut, 11th, missed cut, 26th, 25th. But Siwoo is probably playing the best golf of his life mm-hmm. right now. So I will play Siwoo at 8,000.
Did you see when Siwoo played dead? Yeah, yes. Almost hit by a golf ball. I love Siwoo, yeah. man. Like, that's yeah. just, that's the best. That's good stuff yeah. right there.
You know who was standing beside him on that tee was Bryson.
Yeah. Oh, it's even better.
So and he was like, he was giving him like the club pro guy crucifix position, like, because nobody yelled four at him. And somebody was mentioning how that was Rich coming from
Bryson. People, yeah. Who hits on top of you. Yeah. That's
yeah, who never yells four, or at least who ever. Didn't until he caught Kyle out on it. Yeah.
That's funny. I'm with you. I'm starting with the deck. He had 86 as well. He's 11th in my model, a fifth in approach, first in opportunities gained over the last 24 rounds. He's also a guy that I play all the time because he just doesn't get the love because he's always in the groupings of people that they love. Like, people will play Cam Young over Hideki all day long. They just will. Yeah. And Cam Young's going to figure it out eventually. I just don't know when, and it won't be on my roster is pretty much what it'll come down to. Yeah. So Hideki's my dude at 86. A guy that I'm intrigued with here is Jason Day at $8,400. He was trending in a huge way. Then he goes and wins the Byron Nelson. So that's where the trend goes well. And then a miscut of the PGA, miscut of the Memorial, miscut of the U.S. Open. And it makes me go, huh, what the heck is going on with Jason Day? Because he was playing amazing golf, gets the dub. You look at this tournament, miscut last year, 10th, 46th, 8th, 12th. He's got really good history at this golf course. I think you can get a low-owned Jason Day right here at $8,400. And see where that one goes. Like, his opportunities gained over the last 24 rounds, which would make sense because he's missed three straight cuts, 1/10, proximity 105. Like, that all checks out. If I went back longer, he'd be a lot better probably. But Day at 84 is very, very intriguing to me. Same with Shane Lowry at $8,200 because he's another guy who's just kind of underwhelming because people, I think, have such high standards, especially after a couple of years ago winning the Open. But, you know, 20th at the U.S. Open, 43 in Canada, 16th Memorial, 12th at PGA. The dude gets it done. So I think he's another guy. I don't know if he's got enough to win the whole thing because he's not a massive birdie machine, but could be a nice play at $8,200. And then I'm 100% with you on Siwoo Kim. For the biggest reason, I just do it every time, regardless of his form almost, it's a Pete Dye course. And Siwoo Kim loves Pete Dye courses, like hardcore loves Pete Dye courses. So I will take Siwoo at 8,000 for sure in this field. 75 to 79, give me you got Adam Scott, Henley, Keegan Bradley, Harris English, who had a heck of a week last week. Corey Connors, Gary Woodland, Denny McCarthy, Min Woo Lee had a great week as well. Matt Kuchar, Steven Yeager, Benny On. Who do you like here?
Scott at the top there, 7,900. I know he missed the cut last week. He shot five over. I think that, what was the cut, three or two?
Yes, three.
If you shot three, you were out. If you shot two, you were in.
Yeah. Yep.
But before that, he was playing really good golf. So I will go back to Adam Scott and hope people don't. Henley had a pretty good week last week too, $7,800. 14th place finish there, 16th at Memorial, 16th at Charles Schwab. Playing really solid golf. His course history is pretty good too. 4 out of 5 made cuts here, including 19th place finish in his last start in 2021 at this event. Harris English has won this event in the past. Man, I mean, like, you know, I almost talk about Harris English every week, and to see him like in the mix was very tilting for me. But I will play him this week, especially at that price. And I'd say he's probably going to be high owned if I was guessing. Last for me would be Brian Harman at 7,500, 8th, 5th, miscut, 8th, 6th in his last five starts at this event. U.S. Open, he opened with a 65 and made the cut and really just finished 43rd. It was all over par after that, but it's kind of promising at a place that he likes obviously pretty well, where he's finished inside the top 10 four out of the last 5 years. screams great GPP play to me as far as Brian Harman goes there.
Harman loves himself a Pete Dye course as well. That's one thing he does. So, I don't think Kiz is in this field if he is because he's a Pete Dye dude, but he also played better golf back in the day. I'm with you on Adam Scott, though. At $7,900.
He's in the field. He's $6,200.
He's playing so bad, though. that's another guy. Him and Homa, Homa and Kiz should have been drinking together and talked about the round four. That would have been fun.
Yeah, it would have.
That would have been a show. Adam Scott at 79. I'm with you. I'll go right back to that. Hopefully, at lower rate, even though he missed the cut last week, he's still first in this field in birdie or better in the last 24 rounds. I'll take my chances on that one. Russell Henley, you're talking about like an iron play approach game, like he's sixth in approach over the last 24 rounds. I like him a lot at 78. Keegan at 78 is on my radar. I don't know, he's been kind of flustering of late, so I'm not sure there, but if he's low owned, he's got the GPP upside any day of the week. I'm with you on Harry English. Corey Connors, 10th in my model, 10th off the tee, 13th on approach, 16th in opportunities gained, 26 on the par fours. Kind of surprised he's this cheap. I know it's a loaded field, but he screams like a good play. So does Gary Woodland. Like, I love this range. I'm sorry. Woodland's solid.
A lot of really bad putters.
That's the thing, except for this next guy, Denny McCarthy.
Yeah, he's a good putter.
Best putter in the field, and he's fourth in the par fours, 4 to 450. So, like, if you want your unicorn in this range, that's the guy I would look for compared to the other guys that make more sense potentially. McCarthy is the dude I wanted to mention. And then I think Minwoo Lee is going to be super popular just because he's playing well. There's a lot of narrative street there, but keep him on your radar. But I think Denny's your sneakier one here. I don't mind Adam Scott if people kind of get pissed off after last week. I'll be on board that train. Benny on. And then last but not least, Steven Yeager. I always think of him as a bomber. His from 125 to 150 wedge game, 18th in this field. He's 8th in opportunities gained. He's 10th in the par 4s, 4 to 450. He's actually 18th in my model. So Yeager is very, very, very interesting to me on this slate. 7K to 74, who you like in here? I don't like them all like I did the last field, so I'll keep mine shorter.
Aaron Rye at 7,400.
Of course.
He's going to have to go back after his third-place finish at the Canadian Open. He has started here once last year, finished 40th. Aberg, man, at 7,400, coming off the 25th place finish at the Canadian. I expect him to be quite a bit more popular than he was, though, at the Canadian Open. And he was 7.5% at a higher salary. So I'd say he'll get touted quite a bit at 7,400. So look for some inflated ownership there. Eckroat at 7,300, finished 47th here last year. Hasn't missed a cut since the Texas Open back at the beginning of April. Has a couple of top 10s inside there, so playing really solid golf for a dude who's 7,300. Will Gordon at 7,100. 2 of 2 made cuts here, 18th at the Canadian his last time out. CT Payne, I think I mentioned him at the Canadian. Mm-hmm. My model likes him quite a bit. He finished 3rd there, finished 4th at the Byron Nelson. This is after 3 consecutive missed cuts. His course history is just screams GPP. Miscut, 36, miscut, 8th, 25th. So, yeah. And last but not least, Lucas Herbert, 7,000, 19th here last year, but has missed 3 straight cuts on tour. So, keep that in mind.
Yeah, this is another one. I love Aaron Rice, 7th in my model. His wedge game is amazing. Par 4s, he's 2nd in this field. So, I'm going to keep mentioning because par 4s, when like 2/3 of your holes are those distances, kind of important to me, just a thought. So Aaron Rye is a very strong play here. One that's intriguing to me in this range, I think Rye will be popular and Aberg will be very popular. Good reasons. Dude's a stud. Straight out of college, played great in Canada. He's going to be popular. People are talking about him like he's the next greatest thing. Cam Davis at 74 has my attention. He's 26 in my model, 14th off the tee. He's 23rd in birdie or better. He's like, 31st in proximity, 40th. Like, he doesn't ring the bell everywhere. But how many times have we talked about Cam Davis on shorter courses? Puts the driver away, things change. And to make it more fun, it was 7th at Heritage, which is a Pete Dye course similar to here, 59th at Wells Fargo, 4th at PGA, and then 3 straight missed cuts. And at the U.S. Open, he missed 7.4, negative 7.4 strokes gains total, 4.7 were on the green. Still, that's a lot of the other stuff. Yeah. At the Memorial, he missed almost 7 strokes tee to green. So, grains of salt here, but I think a shorter golf course, he makes for a very, very fun tournament play with Cam Davis. And other than that, though, Eckroat I like a lot. He's 17th in my model. Eric Cole is one I hope people stay away from a little bit longer. He's 32nd in my model. He's 12th in opportunities gained, 10th in birdie or better. Just playing great golf no matter where he goes right now. He's producing. And then the other guys that I think get low ownership, Seabez. This is a Seabez type setup. Like, don't have to bomb it. Shorter course. He's great on the par fours. Justin Suh, I believe you mentioned him.
I didn't.
Well, Justin Suh would be another dude. His iron play is pretty strong. Adam Shank, I love, really like a lot this week in a format like this. And then, you know, there's a couple others, but I'm not going to name everybody under the sun that are intriguing. But
you love the 7K range. He's going to make 7K range, lineups.
Dude. I was going through it. I'm like, these guys, like, check the right, quote-unquote,
these are the
boxes.
Dudes that we've been playing for the last few weeks who maybe that's well. What it is. I agree with you on that.
Because you know what's terrifying is I preached for Kurt Kitayama last week.
Yeah, I know.
That was full tilt.
But what did he end up finishing? I was looking for him, and I couldn't even think of his name when I went through the leaderboard.
All it says is miscut next to his name, so I can't tell you what it said. I zoned it out. While you're looking that up, I just want to mention he's 39th in my model. He's third in the par fours we're looking at. He's 12th in 125 to 150, like wedge game. He's horrible around the green. His off the tee game has been rough right now, but tournaments, have some fun.
75-70, so he just shot five over.
So he missed a couple of three. Yeah. So it wasn't horrific.
It wasn't the end of the world, no.
He just sucked on the easiest day.
Yeah.
So take that. Oh, and then Sam Bennett, 7,000. I wanted to mention him also.
Dude, Sam Bennett, you know, he was up there. He was around the lead, shot 79. Who shaves going from Friday to Saturday?
Sports people, trust me, baseball especially, but sports guys, we are superstitious.
No, 100%,
man. You had a great Thursday and Friday. What are you doing? Like, wear the same underwear. Like, I don't care.
I think that's who almost hit. I think that's who almost hit.
It might have been Siwoo. Yeah. I think you're right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just imploded on Saturday. He comes in clean. I'm like, what are you doing? He must have went to the Playboy Mansion.
I put him on.
Something's got interesting.
I put him on a showdown team.
And he on got Saturday?
He got like negative 2 points or something like that.
Oh, that's too
good. Everybody else in my lineup, like, I was like, how in the hell is this not cashing? Because I had a bunch of dudes who played really well. And I go back and look. I'm like, oh, yeah, Sam Bennett. He was the worst player in the field. So there you go.
All righty. Well, yeah, we'll see how that plays out. But I don't mind going back to him. 6K range, what do you like him?
Hubbard, $6,900. Playable. 4 out of 4 made cuts here. And hasn't missed a cut since the Texas Open back in early April. So he's very playable. Doug Gim, current form is pretty good. I think he's playable. Lee Hodges finished 25th here last year. Made 4 straight cuts on tour. And 3 of his last his last 3 starts have all been inside the top 30, with the last 2 being inside the top 25. So solid. Streelman at $6,800. I mentioned him in the event history. Mm-hmm. He did make the cut last week. He's played here a bunch. 25th missed cut, 2nd, 15th, 33rd, 8th missed cut going back to 2016. So he's got the course knowledge. Samuel Stevens, man. Sam Stevens, $6,800. Yeah. I wish that Fantasy Labs would listen to me whenever I emailed them and asked them to please correlate Sam Stevens with Samuel Stevens, because they haven't listed as Samuel Stevens, but on PGA Tour website, it's Sam Stevens. So I know that's what the malfunction is, why I don't have any stats on him. So I'm just going to keep blindly playing him, I guess. Ches Reavy at $6,700, made his last 4 cuts at this event, won this event in 2019, and has 4 straight made cuts on tour. And then last but not least, I think this, if you're down in this range, $6,500, Carson Young's the guy to go to. We said last week is not the guy to go to. He shot 10 over, was not anywhere, didn't even sniff the cut, but he's got the upside at 6,500 to sneak inside the top 30, top 20 potentially.
Yep. Team Carson Young, baby. Because prior to that, 43rd at Canada, 21 Charles Schwab, 14th at, he finished 19th at the RBC Heritage. Yep. Like, this is what we're looking for, people. Yep. So yeah, I'm with you. Keep riding the Carson Young train. I don't have too much more guys like, Ches Reavy, I had Ben Martin, Streelman, Stevens, Gim. I love Hubbard, big Hubbard fan. Michael Kim, I'll mention. I know he had the miscut last week, but he's playing some pretty good golf overall. And then the only other one I have here is Hayden Buckley, 31st in my model, 9th in opportunities gained, 22nd in the par 4 scoring we're looking at here. And finished 43rd here last year, so I don't mind taking a shot on Buckley as well. But I'm the goal is not to be down here if we can pull that one off, but we'll wait and see how that goes. All right, let's recap things. 10K and above, who you got?
I'm going to say Xander.
Go Cantlay. It's going to be a fun week when Scheffler finally wins. 9K range.
I mean, it will happen. Ricky Fowler. Yeah.
I'm going to go Fleetwood, but this is tough. It's a good range. Good range. 8K range.
Not in love with it, but I'm going to say Siwoo.
That's a great one. I'll go Matsuyama, 75 to 79.
I'm going to say Brian Harman.
Interesting. I'm going to go with, Russell
Henley. The whole range.
Yeah, I know. That's why I had to narrow it down. It's tough. Russell Henley on this one. I wanted to go Harris English, but Russell Henley, 7K to 74.
Aberg.
That's a good one. I will go with Eric Cole. And then 6K range.
Sam Stevens.
I'll go with Hubbard. Give me some Mr. Mark Hubbard on this one. If you're building a cash lineup, Jesse, how are you starting things out?
Yeah, a little rough. I do like those 7K guys that you like, though. Like Henley, I think, is cash viable. Aberg is probably pretty close, even though he doesn't really, you know, have the starts and stuff. But if you're looking up top, like Hovland.
Okay. I'm going to go with Henley. I'll even go Adam Scott in there. And then throw in some Aaron Rye. And you guys have fun everywhere else you want to go. Tournaments, where you start on GPP lineup.
Xander, Ricky, and Brian Harman.
I like that a lot. I'll stick with my guns here. I'll go Cantlay, Fleet. I'll go Cantlay, Fleetwood, Fitz. Figure it out from there. That could be a ton of fun. It's going to be a wild week, actually, because the way this course lays out, and in fact, anyone can win. It's almost one of those weeks where I feel like I say it every time because chalk's kicking everyone's ass. I feel like just this is one of the best weeks to avoid chalk, but just play the guy. Just play the good place. That's the name of the game.
Yeah.
Let's talk about picks to win, though, when we look at DraftKings Sportsbook. Yes, not a sponsor. Scheffler's 5.5 to 1. Rahm is 10 to 1. Cantlay's 10 to 1. Who do you like this week?
I mean, when are they going to make Scheffler's odds negative? Not 6 to 1? Like, what? I mean, he hasn't won. When's the last time he won a golf tournament?
It's been a while.
So the Players Championship back in March.
You know, the top 10 minus 140 is probably a more plus EV bet than him.
That's what I was going to say. Like, why would you not just bet him top 10? You know what I mean? Like, I know you're not getting the odds, but I mean,
he's like
top five. I mean, he has finished in the top five in every event that he's played in since the Byron Nelson. Well, since the Heritage, but Byron Nelson starting, I mean, it's a ridiculous run for somebody. I mean, he doesn't get the credit that he deserves for how good of golf he's playing. No, he can't putt. Just imagine if he could putt, it would be absolutely ridiculous to watch him.
Tom Kim and Siwoo Kim have gotten some serious love if you look compared to DK pricing. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, wow. 35 on both of those guys. They've been bet down quite a bit there. Ricky at 35, I don't mind. I could see him bouncing back this week. I mean, Henley's right there too at 35, which is wild to me.
Wow.
Longer shot. Maybe Sahith gets it done this week, 65 to 1. JT is at 65 to 1.
Wow. Yep. Max is at 40 and JT's at 65. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's, how do you not bet Justin Thomas at 65 to 1?
Yeah, even if he's broken, throw a couple shekels on that.
I mean,
holy crap.
If somebody's giving you 65 to 1 on a Justin Thomas, I don't care what the golf tournament is. I know that was kind of similar last week. I had at least one buddy who bet him just because of the number. But, I mean, that's what a lot of people do every week is just bet because of the number, right?
100%.
So, yeah, I mean, other than that, I don't know. Aberg at 100 to 1 maybe. Sam Bennett at 130.
Yeah, because the one thing I'll say is, like, I keep preaching I love having these guys – in these elevated events that aren't the big dogs, but the big dogs still usually win these things. So let's just be real about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of money on the line, and they give a shit.
Exactly. So, like, Matsuyama at 40, I don't know if he's going to win it. Like, Fitz at 35 is interesting to me. I think that's got some viability for sure. It's crazy. Fleetwood's 22 this week.
Yeah, that's too low on him, too. Yeah. I mean, like, he doesn't win.
No, this is nuts. Yeah, these numbers are all usually it's pretty in line with DK pricing. These are all over the freaking board right
yeah,
now.
This is way off.
Cool. I'm just scanning back and forth. What in the hell is going on here? So yeah, give me some Hideki. And then other than that, like that JT number is hilarious. Yeah, it's real rough. I'm trying to figure out who else fell down here that's gonna be cheap, but there's really no one standing out, I guess. Yeah, we'll wait and see. That's going to be a fun one. But any final thoughts on the week as we wrap up another episode?
I don't, man.
We're a few weeks away from our final major of the year. So yep. Get ready, people. Get ready. It's coming. It's coming.
The Open Championship.
The British Open. Will always be the British Open. Make sure you guys check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. We'll be back with you guys next week for some more PGA Tour action. Until next time, this is your 2023 Travelers Championship preview. Catch y'all next time.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.